1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. It'll take a simple majority of Ohio voters to approve an abortion rights amendment this fall. Republicans there wanted to change that to 60%, but after a heavy turnout, the Associated Press reports that move failed by a wide margin.
Issue one was asking Ohio voters, should it become harder to amend the Ohio State Constitution? This was particularly galvanizing for so many voters because in November, there is scheduled to be a vote to codify abortion rights in the state constitution to protect abortion rights at around 22 weeks of pregnancy.
CBS News campaign reporter Kara Cordy in Columbus. No word yet if anybody has them, but the winning numbers for that $1.5 billion plus Mega Millions jackpot, 13, 19, 20, 32, 33, and the Mega Ball is 14. The stocks of major financial institutions took some losses over worries about profits.
Moody's Investors Service downgraded the credit ratings of several small and mid-sized banks and placed several large banks on review for potential downgrades on worries that bank profits are diminishing, making it harder for banks to generate internal capital to offset debt.
Business reporter Jason Brooks. Mother Nature's been rough on the Mid-Atlantic and points north, thousands of people picking up the pieces.
Powerful storms continue to pummel the Northeast with a tornado knocking down trees as it swept through Mattapoisett, Massachusetts. 2 days of raging storms caused flooding across the state, making some roads impassable.
CBS's Meg Oliver in Maryland. Los Angeles, already dealing with major strikes in the entertainment industry, has also been hit with a short but important walkout of city employees.
They are saying they have been overworked, they are being underpaid, and they are looking for the city also to try and recruit more workers, more support staff for them.
That is Kara Finstrom of CBS Los Angeles. There's a new warning coming about the much-troubled Boeing 737 MAX jet. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick.
This latest warning from the FAA is expected Thursday and tells airlines to limit the use of anti-icing systems on MAX jets in dry air to avoid overheating engine parts that could cause them to break away. The FAA says the risk to the flying public is serious enough that it will put the order into place in just 15 days without public comment first.
Two Boeing MAX jets crashed in 2018 and 2019, killing 346 people. An LA judge sentences rapper Tory Lanez to 10 years in prison for shooting and wounding the hip-hop superstar Megan Thee Stallion. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Staples presents a lesson in back-to-school savings. Your local Staples now accepts Amazon returns. So when you return your Amazon order at Staples, you receive a coupon for $10 off your next $30 Staples purchase. So you can save even more on top of huge back-to-school deals. Like right now, 24-pack Crayola crayons and marble comp books are each just 50 cents. Staples gives you more ways to save even more. 50 cent offers limit 30 and end 8/26. Comp books in store only. Pricing and limits may vary in store and online. Amazon return offer in store only. Exclusions apply.
The roar of our engines, the pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 56. Overnight, under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 84. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 55. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 66.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All right, here we go.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, I assure you, this will be a terrific Tuesday edition. I'm feeling great about it.
Happy Tuesday to you. Crudy Taco Tuesday, as it were. Casper, work of the board, our fair audience. Happy, happy days to us all.
You know, last night, a very important night in the Crudy household, made me feel a little old. My youngest, Karsten, turned 17 last night.
Oof, you are old.
Took him out to one of your finer dining restaurants. Out back.
Yeah.
Nothing but the best for my family.
That's
if you know
right.
what I'm saying.
Hey,
not that there's anything wrong
all
with
the
that.
Volume, man. It's all the volume. You gotta feed those kids, you know, at 17.
Happy birthday, Karsten. But the old Happy man's birthday. Feeling kind of old.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday, a couple of complaints, mostly from you. Talked a lot about that boat. Some implied that might not have been my strongest effort. A little too much boat talk, apparently.
Yeah, you think? I can't believe it. Who would say such a thing?
Well, Jeff from Shorewood gave us a great rating early in hour two. But Dom, this show could be really great, or it could be a failure to launch, like a Scott Walker failed presidential campaign.
Hey, but hey, come on now. He was hot out of the gates. He just burned out around the first turn.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Very much like Ron DeSanctimonious' campaign.
Ooh,
I don't even have much good to say about the man. You know,
he fired his campaign manager today. That's a big move. They're rebooting the DeSantis campaign. You know, anything.
Do they have this campaign on an AOL account? You got to reboot that often? Windows 99? What are they doing?
Floppy disk. He's got to, you know, take it out and put another one in.
Well, anyways, Dom, here's what I want to talk about today. Do you know how many times our governor, Tony Evers, has called for special legislative sessions in the state of Wisconsin? How many times, Dom?
I know, Crudy. because I read. 12!
12 times. He drinks and he knows stuff. Dominic Salvia, my partner.
Thank you. I'm here for you.
12 times Governor Tony Evers has called special legislative sessions. And he's done so again, Tom. In a very important topic. And, oh, yeah, the yet is unsaid. How many times have the Republicans actually taken action and not just gaveled in and gaveled out?
Well, I'm gaveling in and gaveling out is, in fact, taking action, right? I mean, that is a thing. Doing nothing is a thing. That is a choice.
Doing nothing 12 times is starting to be a bad thing.
Yeah,
that's not governance, like, per se.
It seems like they're really not interested in governing, or at least, you know, taking up Evers' ideas to, I don't know, move Wisconsin forward. I'm talking with my thumbs.
Very Scott Walker, non-presidential like.
Yeah.
Here's the headline. Tyler Katzenberger and Yash Roy at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Governor Tony Evers proposes $1 billion for child care workforce, despite Republican lawmakers already denying similar plans. Why are Republicans against child care and workforce development dollars? That would be my question, but let's read beyond the headline. Democratic Governor Tony Evers is calling on state lawmakers to put $1 billion towards child care services and workforce development programs. Now, what do Republicans tell us all the time? Oh, either Wisconsinites are lazy.
Yes, we've heard that. Michaels, I believe.
Yeah, said gubernatorial nominee Tim Michaels on behalf of the Republicans. How'd that work out for him?
No, he's not the governor.
Either they call us lazy or they tell us the workforce ill-prepared for the job offerings they have. You know, maybe it's the $9 an hour wage being offered, but that's a different thing. But anyways, a long shot request, as it's being described in the journalism here, Evers trying to put $1 billion towards child care and workforce development is a Hail Mary, Dom. A long shot request, similar to failed spending proposals introduced during the state budget writing process, that Republicans who control the state legislature, I would point out, it's not written here, but I'm pointing it out, Dom, only through the most partisan gerrymander in perhaps our nation's history, not because that is the will of Wisconsin voters, they controlled the legislature. And they quickly promised to reject these proposals again. Evers' $1 billion plan would allocate more than $365 million to child care programs, guarantee 12 weeks of paid family and medical leaves for Wisconsin workers, and invest $66.4 million in UW system schools, award nearly $200 million for UW-Madison's proposed engineering building, you know, the one that would crank out 1,000 engineers per school year that the Republicans rejected, that they raised $100 million in private investment to help fund that one? Oh, yeah, I read on. And millions more for workforce education and grant programs, Dom. Seems like a good deal. I like this plan. I bet Republicans hate this plan.
The proposed special legislative session scheduled for September 20th is also Evers' latest attempt to extend funding for Child Care Counts, a pandemic-era program that has helped keep child care centers open in an unstable economy. Evers and Democrats tried on multiple occasions to include $340 million in permanent funding for the program in the new two-year state budget, but Republican lawmakers included $15 million for other child care services instead. Child care counts will run out of funds by January of 2024 without additional funding, something Democrats and program advocates warn could trigger large tuition hikes for parents, worsen staff shortages, and shutter child care providers. Here's a quote. "That's a completely catastrophic but preventable scenario for our kids. So I'm calling on the legislature to invest more than $365 million in child care support statewide and child care programs that we already know are successful," Evers said Tuesday at Tiny Green Trees, a nature-based child care center in Milwaukee. It's really not rocket science, he said. But Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Devin LeMahieu dismissed Evers' announcement in statements Tuesday, with Voss calling it nothing more than a rehash of Tony Evers' tax spend budget that did nothing to address long-term childcare industry challenges. Republicans made the decision to return the budget surplus to the taxpayers through a middle-class tax cut. Governor Evers vetoed it, Voss said, referencing Evers' a partial veto of GOP tax cuts included in the state budget last month. Now he's rushing to spend billions of dollars again so it can't be given back? Rep. Mark Boren, a Republican from Beaver Dam, who co-chairs the legislature's budget writing committee, told the Journal Sentinel on Tuesday he had no interest in reopening budget deliberations, effectively paralyzing Evers' workforce development plans. Boren said he wouldn't send focus on sending $3.3 billion in tax cuts that Evers vetoed back to the hardworking taxpayers of Wisconsin. Seems like we've had this conversation once or twice. And as you mentioned, Evers, during his first term in office, called on Republican lawmakers in a special session 12 times! 12, Crudy, the second most in a four-year term of any Wisconsin governor. Most tried but failed to urge legislative action from Republicans on issues they already proposed. What else we got here? Here's what Evers believes. This session will be different than past special sessions. I don't know why he would. The answer is always the same. Yeah, we don't want to do that, but instead, let's take that money and tax cuts. Here's what Evers said. I know Republicans do not want to be responsible for farmers, hospitals, schools, and other businesses in their district not being able to find workers because parents care for their kids. If they don't take this seriously, it will not be a bipartisan responsibility for the financial consequences, but their responsibility. Their responsibility, Crudy. Do you think that's going to force them to do anything besides offer, you know, let's see, what do we have a problem with? Everything else? What's the solution? Tax cuts.
Well, if you just sent the money back to the people, they claim. Especially the rich people. They're donors. They love when they get sent some money back. You know, the Widow Hendricks' way.
People.
Or
especially
perhaps to the U-lines. Mm-hmm. Especially those people. Dom, I don't understand why Republicans so hate the working class people of the state of Wisconsin. Because while they're trying to give away tax cuts, and no doubt, there are some tax cuts I would differ with Tony Evers. I don't know why he vetoed that secondary one. I understand why he vetoed the top one, but not the second one. Okay, figure that out through a legislative piece. Reconfigure. Do what you got to do, Republicans. But why not help out people with little kids in childcare? You're the pro-life party. You want the babies. What do you do with the babies when mom and dad got to go back to work? Well, not everyone's grandma can take them. You know, these generational, multi-generational families where everyone lives in the same place and they watch the grandkids. I wish that was the model. I know there's MAGAs out there saying, man, I remember when America was great and grandma watched me. Barely let me eat the paint chips. Barely.
Barely.
But I got to tell you, my kids went to childcare. And when I had two of them in childcare, Dom, $1,300 a month.
Expensive back then, dude.
That was 17 years ago, right? Well, maybe right. 15, 16. The kid just turned 17. It wasn't that many years ago. But when we graduated from, like, you know, Little Red Preschool, and I mean, what a fine program. They did great by our kids. But it was like eliminating another mortgage payment.
Totally.
And I got to tell you, Don, these Republicans totally ignoring the governor of the state of Wisconsin. How can you not at least go and have hearings? Go have a special session. Go talk about these things. You know how many things Republicans refuse to talk about? They don't talk about anything. Tony has called 12 special sessions. The number of the day is 12. And they do nothing. They quit governing here in the state of Wisconsin. It's not even election year. They got Tony to sign their crap budget. And now they're done.
Done.
12 times Tony Evers called special sessions.
Number 12.
Baker's dozen. Come back. More.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Let the city
show. We love it when you participate at 844-967-2789. Or you can download the Civic Media app and click on the text button, click on the call button, just hang out with us. Check it out. It's easy.
Easy as a cold beer on a summer's day, Dom.
Easy like Sunday morning.
Tom, I feel like we should have played, what is it, Home Sweet Home? Who is that, Poison? Motley Crue, maybe.
Motley Crue, come on, man.
Old style beer. Leaving Milwaukee, suck it, Milwaukee, in this case.
Oh, no.
No, I love you, Milwaukee, but in this case, suck it, Milwaukee, because old style leaving Milwaukee and returning home to La Crosse, baby. Going to God's country.
He can't go home again, though, Crue.
Drake Bentley at the Journal Sentinel. I will absolutely go home and drink some old style in my old stomping grounds in La Crosse. You know, it's going to be Oktoberfest time. Old style is going home. Beginning in November. Oh, that's not soon enough for Oktoberfest. They got to start brewing it now. Beginning in November, the beer will be brewed in La Crosse again, where it was first brewed in 1902. After spending 24 years in Milwaukee as part of the Pabst Brewing, the company told La Crosse media outlets Monday, Old Style beer became so popular in the mid-20th century that they were the official sponsor of the Chicago Cubs. Boo! Sorry. And one of the Windy City's formidable beer brands over the years. Many bars around the Midwest have the iconic Old Style sign outside the establishment. And Old Style was first made as a premium beer by G. Heilman Brewing Company in La Crosse in 1902. Heilman was the city's major brewer in 1858 until the mid-1990s. I know I worked there at the time. And then they got bought out by an Australian group. And Crudy was at the press conference. I was there as a cameraman. Scott Hackworth
really?
Was my
that.
Reporter.
Okay.
And screwed up the video. It was like way too dark to use on the air. Oh, Hackworth wanted to beat my ass that night.
Oh,
I mean, this is the
on.
Biggest news. La Crosse is losing ownership of their brewing company, effectively. And Crudy screwed up the video. That's why I'm in radio, man. A little bit more here. Old Style, which was Heilman's number one beer for nearly a century, helped start Oktoberfest USA in La Crosse roughly 65 years ago. Baby, they started my favorite tradition, Oktoberfest. The brand's rights to Old Style went to Pabst in 1999 after, I haven't heard this one in a while, Stroh Brewing Company dissolved the company after purchasing it from Heilman in 1994. Got rid of it in 1994. I was working at WXOW TV19. City Brewing Company struck a deal with Pabst in 2019 to move much of Pabst production to City Brewery. And in addition to La Crosse, City Brewery has facilities in Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and California. Yeah, Dom, but La Crosse has the world's largest six-pack and six-packs pub crawl around Oktoberfest.
Oh, iconic, baby.
Are we gonna going to party home. Up there for Oktoberfest? Are we going home?
I mean, you got to figure statute of limitations is probably run out between from college, right? So, yeah, I think we're all right.
I might still be on paper in La Crosse County. I got to be careful up there. We'll have a good time, though.
Bring your passport, Crudy.
844.
Bring a go bag.
844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack. Welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Well, you know, the Republicans are so incredibly arrogant because they have been in absolute control of the legislature for what now, 13 years, something like that. They think that nobody's going to do anything about them. And, you know, so far they've been right. I mean, you know, they not only did they hold on to the legislature with the last redistricting, but thanks to our state Supreme Court, they actually almost increased to a veto-proof majority. The way I have it figured, George Orwell stated, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. I figure that makes one Republican animal vote about equal mathematically to 1.35 donkey votes. And these guys have got to be stopped. I'm afraid that what likely to happen is our state Supreme Court will say, yeah, this is ridiculous. It needs to be redistricted appropriately. And it will be immediately taken to the federal Supreme Court. And those six snakes that are in the oligarchy of the federal Supreme Court are going to say, oh, too late. Election's coming up in another little over a year. Can't do anything now. And they'll be in for another couple of years.
Jack, normally I might share your pessimism, but let's look to the North Carolina ruling. The ruling effectively in North Carolina, they didn't go that route. And the Alabama voting rights ruling. There's been a couple of encouraging signs and recent cases, Jack, that this U.S. Supreme Court, where normally I'm down with you, I get it, 6-3 partisans, but they can't wade into another case seemingly and change the recent precedent that they set. They're going to overturn themselves?
They can't change the precedent that they set? That was a joke, right?
Well, sort of.
Given these guys, anything could happen. I really hope you're right, but I just don't trust the animal.
I'm right like 63% of the time, Jack. At least 63%. Come back with us. The old style polka. One of our texters in from La Crosse said, let me make sure I get this right. Texted in on WLCX. Dana in La Crosse text. Do you know if they'll be using the original recipe for old style? It's returning to La Crosse if you're just joining us, because they did change it back there in the 80s or the 90s. And as Dana says, it was crap. What was the first beer you ever got drunk on, Dom?
Oh,
probably an old style.
Budweiser.
Hams. Worst beer ever to get drunk on for the very first time. Hams. No, it was red, white, and blue. It was quite bad. Not like old style. Returning home to beautiful La Crosse, the namesake behind La Crosse.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow on his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. encourage them to see a doctor, or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 56, overnight, under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds, around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again, tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms, highs level off around 84. Partly cloudy skies, tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms, lows dip down to about 55. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 66.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I told you it's going to be a terrific Tuesday edition, Dom, and I got great news for you and the audience listening at home or in their cars or wherever they're at.
I love great news, Crudy.
And it's not that I got Stevie Nicks tickets for later tonight.
I do.
That's not my great news. My great news, Bernie Sanders coming to Madison. Capital Times Ideas Fest. And we got the Capital Times editor, at least one of them, John Nichols, joining us in the 5 o'clock happy hour. But I was happy to hear this news.
Yeah, man, that's fun.
Bernie Sanders has come to Madison many times to campaign on behalf of his own presidential bids and the candidacies of many progressive contenders who have sought his backing. But his appearance at the 2023 Capital Times Idea Fest on UW-Madison campus will be different. Different, I tell you, Dom. Now, we had Bernie Sanders on this fine program, I believe, Dom, let me see if I can remember. I believe it was March 29th, 2016. Got a couple questions in. Bernie was nice. He came on primary day, and Bernie won this state in the 16 primary, double digits. Bernie Sanders was dominant. And strangely, on the other side of the ticket, if you'll recall, Ted Cruz. Righty Whitey Talk Radio was all down for Ted Cruz. Cruz beat Trump by like 13.
And think, oh, how things have changed.
Oh, no kidding, man.
Right.
I never changed, Dom. I still love Bernie Sanders. The independent senator from Vermont will appear in Memorial Union, Shannon Hall, at 7 p.m. on the evening of Friday, September 22nd. I hope my wife didn't think I was taking her away for her birthday that weekend. Sanders is coming to Madison to engage in a wide-ranging discussion of structural barriers to change in America and how to overcome them. Sanders often complains that when he does media interviews, he's only asked about matters of the moment. It frustrates him, Indeed, in the new book that the senator and I wrote together, not I, the author of this little piece.
John Nichols, not Crudy.
It's okay to be angry about capitalism. Sanders muses about the fact that over many years as a member of the U.S. House of Representatives in the U.S. Senate and a presidential candidate, have appeared on every major Sunday news show and the Devil's Advocates, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox, numerous times, and have done thousands of TV interviews. Yet in all those interviews, I've never been asked about some of the most important and profound issues facing our country. Never! And it's not just me. There are issues of enormous consequences that are almost totally ignored by corporate media. Now, Dom, the book features a list of questions that never get asked. Do you have some of these questions?
I'm here for you, man. Help here's me, a man. Question.
What's a question that never gets asked?
What does it mean morally, economically, and politically that three multi-billionaires own more wealth than the 160 million Americans who make up the bottom half of our society?
What does that mean, Tom?
Why do we have more income and wealth inequality today than at any time in the past century? What does it mean that in an economy supposedly based on free enterprise and competition, three Wall Street firms, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, manage $22 trillion in assets and are major shareholders in more than 96% of S&P 500 companies? Now, I would say this. Bernie Sanders is extremely on message, on point, all the time.
Very disciplined.
Very disciplined. So he continues to say these things. And when I read these words, I could just see him, because Bernie Sanders, we've seen him enough. That's how he talks. These are the things that he is passionate about. These are the things he continues to bring
up. The top 1% has got all of the wealth.
Whether or not, you know, corporate mainstream media addresses these issues. Another question. Scandinavian countries, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Norway, have made enormous progress over the years in providing a high quality of life for their citizens and, according to international surveys, are generally at the top of the list in terms of human happiness. What can we learn from these countries in terms of social policy? Or, here's another question, the scientific community for many decades has made it crystal clear that climate change and all the dangers it poses in terms of drought, floods, extreme weather disturbances, and disease is the result of carbon emissions from the fossil fuel industry. And yet, despite all this evidence, the oil companies spent millions of dollars lying about this reality and about their responsibility. What should Congress do to hold the fossil fuel industry accountable for the enormous destruction they have caused the planet?
I know the answer. They will do nothing, Dom.
They will cash the checks.
The millions and billions being invested in many cases, Dom, is in Republican U.S. senators. They're not looking for legislative remedies for climate change. What Ron Johnson say could be good for the Midwest.
Oh, it's a hoax by the Chinese. Isn't that what the former guy, the thrice indicted leading Republican candidate for president, said?
Well, Dominic, wasn't July the hottest month ever in the recorded history of our planet?
Well, I mean, that's what they tell you.
But that's just weather, right?
And I wasn't there 100 years ago, so how do I really know?
Dom, those are some of the concerns Sanders and John Nichols, our later guests, will discuss at the Ideas Fest, an intimate conversation that will go far beyond the standard political discourse. And also, it's not just Bernie. Sanders won't be the only national figure who will appear at the Idea Fest for a deeper discussion of fundamental issues facing the country. We've had this gentleman on. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison will be there on Wednesday, September 20th, with his new book, Break the Wheel, Ending the Cycle of Police Violence. It was Ellison who, after the murder of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer, took over the case and led the prosecution team that brought Derek Chauvin to justice. Here's a quote. Despite what we all know from the torture and murder of George Floyd, the story of the Herculean legal effort to bring the officers who killed Floyd to justice has never been told until now, according to Sherilyn Eiffel, the former president of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, in her enthusiastic endorsement in the book. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison takes us through the compelling story of the painstaking, extraordinary effort led to prosecute the officers who committed the most infamous racial murder by police in the history of our nation. So anyways, some big shots coming to that. I think we will play some part here at Civic Media in promotion of these events. And I guarantee you, I'll be feeling the burn that night, Dom. I'll be in the audience. Birdie in 2024 or bust.
Let's see. John Nichols concludes his piece here in the Cap Times. Again, John will be joining us in the happy hour. But here's what he throws out there. One of the sessions that excites me, John, the most will involve a pair of Wisconsinites, State Reps Francesca Hong from Madison and Christina Shelton from Green Bay, both Democrats, who will appear on Saturday, September 23rd, to discuss their groundbreaking work to renew Wisconsin status in America's laboratory of democracy. Working with academics such as historian Harvey K. Harvey, as well as activists in Wisconsin and across the country, they've developed a legislative agenda that is every bit as ambitious as that of Robert M. La Follette and the progressive campaigners of a century ago. And you know, John Nichols loves some La Follette, as all of us do, at least most of us here. If you're listening, you don't know, you should check the man out. We are the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. I've not been to the Idea Fest. I'm a big Fest goer. I love Fest. So maybe this will be one to put on the calendar and check out.
Well, here's an idea suggested on the text line coming from a listener on WMDX. They claim they'd be even more excited if the Old Style Brewing Company started brewing Special Export Light again. They must miss the Special Export Light, Dom.
Is it not being brewed anymore? Special X? Pretty sure Special X is still out there.
Do they? Do they make the Special Export Light, though?
I don't know. I don't know. It's been a while. Special X. So, John Nichols joining us at the top of the hour. The breaking news, though, Crudy, I want to throw this out there. Of course, Donald Trump has apparently got to, you know, his crew, his attorneys, got to go back to court. This protective order. They want to, you know, restrict what Donald Trump can do with all the evidence that they're going to present to him, which is supposed to be used for his defense. But of course, he wants to, you know, filter it and throw it out there for the people. And perhaps, you know, the Justice Department and the special prosecutor, Jack Smith, they're not down with all that. After Trump truthied out last week, if you come after me, I'm coming after you. Jack Smith and the boys and girls at the special prosecutor's office asked the judge for this order. The judge gave Trump's team until Monday, till yesterday, 5 o'clock, bring in their order, their response to it. They gave a response, the DOJ, they laid another one out. Now it's a timing. Well, we're going to have a hearing, she decides, after reading the responses. And the hearing's got to be somewhere, you guys got to agree, sometime between Wednesday and Friday. And the Justice Department says, well, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that all works for us. Trump's attorneys, oh, they're, you know, we're really busy. How about, you know, maybe sometime next week? You know, the delay tactics from the defense of Donald Trump. And the judge has now apparently ruled about 10, 15 minutes ago.
What's your source, Tom? Just so I know.
The source is Politico. Kyle Cheney, a political reporter, tweeted out, "The court hereby schedules a hearing on the parties' respective protective order proposals in this matter on August 11th at 10 a.m. Courtroom 9, Friday at 10 a.m. So no, not next week. Sorry, that's not going to work for us. Now, still a delay, right? She could have ruled Monday, yesterday, and said, yep, you're right. This is not out of the ordinary Donald Trump. He's going to break this. We just know this. He cannot not do this, right? So whatever he's told to do, he won't be able to do it. And it's going to come to a head probably sooner than later. Probably sooner than later. He's already attacking the judge. He's already attacking people. I mean, that's what Trump does. How are you going to get him to stop it? Well, you're going to have to throw him in the clink. That's how you get him to stop it. And no matter what you Republicans and MAGAs think, he's not the president. He might get some special security for being an ex-president, but he's just another dude looking for a job. That's all he's doing. And he goes around and going to job interviews at these campaign events. That's all he's doing. If you're going to threaten judges and you're going to try to impede witnesses and harass witnesses and, you know, perhaps poison the jury pool, if that is your intent, you probably will not be walking around the free very long with this judge. I just don't think that's going to be very practical. So I'm throwing it out there, man. I don't know that Donald Trump will be able to keep himself out of the clink for breaking whatever rules are imposed upon him by this judge.
And this is Judge Tanya Chutkan's courtroom that they're going to have the hearing on Friday, Dom. That's my understanding.
Yes.
Smith's team responded it was available every day. Trump's suggested next week. Trump's team responded President Trump will not appear. However, he would like to have both his counsel, John Lauro, and Todd Blanch at the hearing. Now, Todd Blanch is not available on Thursday since he must appear for a court proceeding in a prosecution brought against the same defendant, President Trump, by special counsel in the Southern District of Florida. Well, Trump's not going anyways, right? Mr. Lauro is available on Thursday with the preference for an afternoon setting, you know, after siesta time, please. However, we lost Friday as an option. We would respectfully request a setting on Monday afternoon or Tuesday.
Wait. They lost day. Friday as an option? You know, Friday, yada, 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 not going to work. How about Monday? They didn't get. What do you mean you lost Friday as an option? And of course, that's what Judge Chutkan specifically chose, Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern.
It says here in the article, Dom, it was not clear why Friday or Wednesday was not an option. You know, it's Friday. I go golfing on Friday, of course.
It's 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. That's the ideal work schedule.
You know, I used to accuse you of taking a lot of Fridays off. Then I took last Friday off, and you followed suit. We're going to have to work this Friday.
I know.
And apparently, that day Bernie Sanders comes to town, September 22nd. That's a Friday. We'll be working that day. And, of course, Oktoberfest. That'll be the end of September. So we're starting to lay out the fall calendar already. Come back with us. Still a lot of show. And John Nichols from the Cap Times and the Nation. He's joining us in the Happier Happy Hour. Your calls could be next. 844-967-2789.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines open 844-967-2789. Crudy, on the same topic on Trump, on this hearing set for a Friday on the protective order. Trump today, he was out talking. Let's see, who is this? On the
trash talking, smack talking, was he?
Reported. Come on, that's all Trump does. No, he was very eloquent talking about policy. Yeah, right. Former President Donald Trump suggested on Tuesday that he would violate any gag order preventing him from talking about special counsel Jack Smith's election interference case against him. While speaking to a crowd of supporters in Windham, New Hampshire, Trump complained about Smith's request for a protective order. The order could prevent Trump from publicly targeting figures involved in the case. Well, no wonder why he's got a problem with it. Here's what Trump said on the stage in New Hampshire. Crooked Joe now wants the thug prosecutor, this deranged guy, to file a court order and take away my First Amendment rights so that I can't speak. This case is a ridiculous case. It is a First Amendment case, but we don't want Trump to speak. So they want me. They want to take away your rights on the First Amendment. See how he's done that, folks? Trump said a gag order would make campaigning difficult. When we say I can't talk, I'd love to, he added. I will talk about it. I will. They're not taking away my First Amendment. My First Amendment. I'm doing this for you, our First Amendment. So yeah, that's what Trump said today.
Can't gag him. Can't keep a good man down, Dom.
How does this play out, right? Of course,
I'm really curious.
Yeah, because I mean, he's gonna have to. She will have no choice.
At some point, she's going to, what, have to remand him to prison?
Yes.
To jail? To
confinement, to whatever they decide.
I don't see how that happens without a conviction, man. They would burn it down.
Burn it down, man. How is it any different from anybody else, man? Anybody else? I mean, 1,000 other defenders went through, you know, D.C., dude.
He's running for president right now. He's
you a Republican cannot, front and you know runner. He will. So he will force the issue.
He's the Republican front runner, man. He's just
so he'll be the Republican front runner, confined to home confinement, or perhaps sitting in a D.C. jail.
He cannot violate the rules of the court.
I'm just saying. I don't know how else it plays out. I mean, given the circumstances, given what we know, show me a different possibility. Show me something else that is more likely that Trump will violate whatever order is given upon him. He will violate it. Yes, and there will be consequences. The judge will be forced to impose consequences. Yes, that will happen.
Jail?
I don't know. But
like real jail or like, you know,
how it works out.
Dictator locked up in your mansion, Mar-a-Lago jail. Man never leaves. What's he going to leave the house to do? Go golfing. That's about it. The man never leaves.
Let's get some callers in. What do you think? 844-967-2789. Gary from Stevens Point, you are up. Welcome, Gary. What do you got for us?
Welcome, Gary.
Morning, or afternoon, I guess. Whatever happened to the seditious conspiracy charges that were supposedly imminent, the incitement to violence? Is Jack Smith that incompetent?
Well, I don't think there's incompetence. I think there's a second grand jury that's still investigating in the D.C. jurisdiction. We know that because Eileen Cannon exposed to Gary. But above and beyond that, is that what we're hoping for?
Well, I would say this, Gary. I think those other alleged crimes, I think will be harder to prove. I think what Smith is doing, what the DOJ is doing, is taking the lowest hanging fruit, stuff that they know will be speedy and stuff they have the easier proof on.
Yeah, he's doing a media show, and that's all.
Who's
ever come with it?
Who's doing a media show, Gary? Because Jack Smith, I haven't seen him doing any media.
You must have missed his C-SPAN interview.
Well, you got me there, Gary. I'm not like a heavy P1 C-SPAN consumer.
You just yammer on and don't pay attention to what's actually going on.
All right, Gary, apparently you pay attention. I really appreciate it. So why don't you edify? Oh, no, man, I wanted to hear Gary edify it, man. I wanted to hear Gary yam on and explain to me the 70 different charges of fraud and election interference and denying people's right to vote. Tell me about those things, Gary, on the road. I'd love to hear your perspective. How are those things legit? How are those things legal? And would you be fine if that was Obama or if that was Hillary doing that, Gary? I'm just looking for a little consistency and some edification. But thanks for listening. I look forward to speaking to you more often.
Gary must have been watching the C-SPAN when Jack Smith read his, prepared statements. Because he didn't appear on C-SPAN. Although, somewhere in the C-SPAN account, in 2011, Jack Smith is in their video library.
Yeah, Jack Smith didn't do any media after he was assigned special prosecutor. I highly doubt that's the case.
He's not the one out claiming he's got a First Amendment right to talk smack in public?
Right.
844-967-2789. Jeannie calling from beautiful Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Hopefully listen on the tap 93.5 FM. Welcome, Jeannie. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeannie.
Great radio station. I love it, and I'm very grateful to you guys because this is a wonderful gift to our area of the state. And thank you, guys. I couldn't help myself from calling. I usually like to listen lately. But, God darn it, I have to respond to that guy that called and give me an effing break.
Oh,
God
Gary!
Darn it, we have to see. Huh? Oh, yeah. Anyway, you know, we're sick of seeing that lying son of a gun all the time spreading lies, pulling the people in saying, oh, I'm doing this for you. No, Trump, you were the one that tried to steal an election, wouldn't leave, know you lost, caused an insurrection. I watch live. how idiotic do you think we are? Anybody that believes Gary has to have their ears cleaned or their head examined. One of the two. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, but the smoke's coming out my ears. You take care, guys. Have a good day. Thank you.
Jeannie, just so you know, you apparently have fans in Fountain City, Wisconsin. Jeannie's got her own fan club. Here's what I would say about the Trump and the January 6th and the insurrection. These were crimes against us. We are the majority. We're the ones that elected Joe Biden. They're taking something from us or endeavoring to do so. And we, the American people, need to be a little more pissed in mass. Because I know Dom gets ranty and ravey sometimes on this radio program, but I don't understand why we tolerate guys like Gary from Stevens Point talking trash on this radio show. You lost that freaking election. Your guy's been lying ever since, committing crimes. He's a criminal, man. What do you want me to do? You bring out some evidence that Biden's a criminal? Prosecute his ass, too. I'm down. Put them all in the clink. Throw all the bums out. Except us. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We're super cool. You're going to want to listen. We got John Nichols, our fine guest, at the top. Stick around. I know you will.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later, and I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. A free-for-all on a Montgomery boat